Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday.
Yay, I love Mailbag Monday.
It's
so much fun. All right, let's just jump right in here. The first question is, I got married 3 years ago, and my husband has put on 40 pounds. I don't attend a gym, but I do try to take care of myself. Any suggestions on how to deal with a spouse who's not taking care of themselves?
And the Bible says, the truth shall set you free.
I'm convicted right now.
I know. Well, I'll just start off this because the first year of my marriage, I put on 52 pounds. I married a woman who's a great cook, and I porked out something fierce, and I didn't care. I didn't care until I realized that I'd moved up two pant sizes, and they wouldn't button. I'm trying to get to work. What happened to my pants? What happened to my pants? And you got too fat, and I realized, oh, my goodness, what happened? And it comes on quick. It just does. And so, number one, you got to make sure you're not living on, I start to say a brand name, you're not just living on burgers and fries and milkshakes, and you can't eat late at night. There's just a lot of rules that you got to put into it, because what you're trying to do is live a long time. Man, I married somebody that I love, but I'd really like to stay married a long time, and I don't want to bury them. So you got to be truthful. The Bible says truth will set you free, and your spouse is your best friend. Hey, sugar, we need to talk. Don't do it late at night. Do it early in the day when you've had a good cup of coffee or something, everybody's in a good mood. Hey, sugar, we need to talk. You're getting damn right fat. We got to do something about this, because I want you to live a long time, and I don't want to bury you. I don't have to get remarried, you know? And you just kind of get blunt, like, you know, I will. I'll just bury you, and I'll marry you again. And what happened to your first spouse? Well, they got too fat, and they died. I mean, and not trying to be funny, you just blunt. I came from a very big family. My dad had 12 brothers and sisters.
That's a little too blunt.
My father-in-law had 12 brothers and sisters, so we had people that were skinny. They could eat 1,000 pounds of food a day and not gain 1 ounce. Then we had some people, they just look at a biscuit. They put them 5 pounds just looking at it. So everybody's metabolism is different. So I used to tell people, when you get married, number one, make sure you're in church all the time in the Word of God. Number two, see a family doctor at least once a year and get a physical. Check your blood type out. Make sure you're doing everything. Take your vitamins every day. Drink enough water. And stay away from the junk food, because it's going to do some bad stuff to you. And so, you know, when I was in the Army, before we had our first weekend leave, they show us all those films about all those sexual diseases, old black and white films. It was a horror movie. Mm-hmm. I thought, good, no, I don't know what that disease is. Can I get that? You need to make sure you stay pure until you get married, number one. But then they show other things, you know, after the next 6 months, and they'd have food stuff. Guys, you need to stay healthy. We need our military in shape. Mm-hmm. And so we're working like a dog every day, but eventually you'll get out of basic and AIT, and you'll get on your own. And I remember I had all of my uncles on my dad's side were in the military, all of them, because you left a mining town. So they stayed in real good shape until they got out. And all of a sudden, I had a couple uncles that porked up something fierce, and they loved to eat. Said, I about starved to death. You know, one uncle was in Iwo Jima. We had two uncles in Iwo Jima. That's how old the family was. I said, when I got out, I said, I'll never starve again. I'm going to eat the rest of my life. And both of them porked out, and both of them went to heaven kind of early. And so you're not trying to scare anybody, but you got to, if you love somebody, tell them the truth. Hey, I love you. We got to do something about this.
Well, and this is honestly something Joe and I are both having to deal with, since we both gained weight since we got married.
Yes, ma'am.
We travel and eat out.
Constantly.
Yes. And having been a single mom for 12 years, I rarely ate out. So at first it was like, woohoo, this is fun. So, you know, the Bible says that your body is not your own.
Nope.
I mean, I think that it's something that you have to say, you know, this is my body and you're abusing it.
Yes.
And I'm trying to take care of your body.
Yes.
So not to be lorded over them or anything, but to say, hey, what is it? What is it causing this? Is it stress? Is it, let's carry this together. We're two.
I'm not going to judge. I'm here to help you as a spouse. You got to be truthful. And 1 Corinthians 7 says, you know, your body and yours belongs to your spouse.
Yeah. And so, you know, and that's the thing is you're partners and you're walking together. So, I mean, say, would it help if I made you a healthy lunch? You know, let's make a deal that we won't eat after this amount of time. Maybe control your portions, whatever it is. Just say, let's do this together so that it's not, you're not heaping coals of condemnation on top of them, but that's something that you're walking in love together, even though, because probably if they feel like I do, your own heart's already condemned you, so you don't need much pointing out.
You're already that. Condemned. You understand that?
Yeah.
And the simple things, you know, the simple things was portion control and time you eat, because, you know, my kind of job, we never did eat till late at night. And so I remember I'd come home, I'm tired, I haven't had a chance to eat no lunch, no dinner, and if I get the kids to bed, what are we going to do? I'm eating something. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take my time eating, and I might have two portions, and if there's any leftover food from dinner, I'm eating that too. And so it was real easy, and you realize, okay, if I want to live a long time, I've got to change this. So, you know, for us, we'd say, we try not to eat after 6 o'clock at night. Drink all the water you can. And we love just other, what can I eat? Well, you can eat nuts and have some good popcorn without the butter. You know, you can, there's legal ways to cheat. There's really legal ways to cheat. So figure out what that is.
And I would say, look, I'm sure there's things in my life that you want me to work on too. So, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll make an effort to work on that. If you'll make an effort to work on that so that it's not just one-sided, because there's always stuff.
Sure. And the scale moves up and down every now and then. So don't judge. You know, we promise, hey, I'll get on the scale once a week and we'll see what we're doing. And you go 1 week and you realize you put on an extra 3 pounds. Like, and just don't say anything. Well, you gained another 3 pounds. Praise God. You know, we got another week to work on that. And hope the next week, hey, I've dropped 1 pound. I lost one of those extra 3 pounds I gained. And you try to encourage one another. If you get judgmental, you have lost already. You're the greatest cheerleader for your spouse that they will ever have. Mm-hmm. So let your yes be yes, your no be no, all else proceed from the evil one. Say things that are going to encourage them. Don't discourage them.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so the next question is, I want to send our 2 kids to a private school, but my husband is not in agreement. His biggest issue is how much it would cost. He says that he went to both a private and a public school and that there wasn't that much of a difference. Well, for me, first of all, I have a very strong opinion about this.
Yes, ma'am.
And here's the thing, because you've got homeschoolers, private schoolers, public schoolers. I think that it is a very personal choice.
Yes.
That should be made in joint agreement between a man and a woman.
Yes.
There's no right and there's no wrong.
Yes.
I chose to send my kids to private school because in the city that we were in, the public school had a horrid reputation. And you know, I just did it because particularly after it went to divorce, I felt like they had – their world had imploded so much they needed a little bit more of a controlled, protected environment in a smaller situation. And it was an extreme sacrifice financially. If my family hadn't have helped at times as a single mom, I don't know that we'd have been able to make it. It was a big time struggle. But, you know, we did, and I don't regret it at all. I feel like I was not as at that point, I wasn't as concerned about their education as much as I was socially. I knew education-wise they would catch up if they got behind. But so that was the choice that I chose to make. So, I mean, I just think you need to sit down together and make a list of what the priority and why. And what are the public schools like in your area? 'Cause they can vary. Where I was, it was
yes.
Not a great situation.
Every county's different. Every city's different. We had when I was a school administrator for 10 years, every year at the first of the year, we'd have 3 seminars. Monday night before school started, I'd have a Christian school seminar. This is what we can and cannot do for you. Number one, we're not going to get your children saved. That's the church's job. We're going to educate them. Tuesday, we had a homeschool seminar for homeschoolers. Please don't go down and pick at the city state capitol. You know, stay home, educate your kids, get a name for your school, make it as legal as you can, you know. Get a 501c3. It's real cheap. You can do it, make it a legal thing. And then the last night would be public schools. I said, listen, I went to public school my whole life. both high school, elementary school, college. I liked the school I was in, but times were different. The high school I went to that I loved so much completely flipped within a decade. Drugs were a problem. Mm-hmm. Violence was a problem. Society changed. And so what we were trying to tell them, because people would ask me, well, what do you believe in? I said, I believe in education.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you had three different seminars. What do you believe in? I believe in education. And I remember one lady stood up when we did the Christian school seminar, and nice lady, and I knew her, of her, and she had five children, and her husband had left her, and she said, Mr. Green, how can I afford to put my children in your school? I'm a single mother with five children.
Mm.
And everybody's listening. And it was my first time to kind of be thrown on the block. I said, well, ma'am, you can't.
Mm.
You're not going to be able to afford it. Well, do you have any kind of scholarship? No, ma'am. We're a Christian school. We're not the Salvation Army. We don't have any extra money. And so it costs this much to have this school. And when I tried to tell them, my kids, when they went to Christian school, which all mine did, I'm trying to provide the safest environment I can. It really wasn't that they were mm-hmm. a better academic school. They may have been sometimes, they may not have been. I'm trying to find a safe environment. You can go to school, you can be safe, and you can come home.
Mm-hmm.
And so because eventually where you go is based on you individually, not the degree you have, not the school you graduated from. It's your personal attitude about things. So people would always challenge me every year doing those seminars. What do you believe in? I said, I believe in education.
Mm-hmm.
You get paid for two things in this planet, for what you know and what you can do. If you don't know more than somebody else, you can't do more than somebody else. You don't get paid more than somebody else. Then I would always do this, and please don't take this wrong, but I collected 1,200 biographies over my 10 years as administrator. And every year I would read them to, they're about maybe 30 seconds long a piece. Millionaires and billionaires in America that never finished school. You know, from everybody from Thomas Edison to, you know, all these business people never finished school. Most never finished elementary school, but became very successful. The Bible says your gift will make room for you, bring you before kings to make you wealthy. Not your IQ, not your GPA, or not what college or school you went to. It's your individual choice. And so, you know, work's a four-letter word. It's not a cuss word. If you don't work, you don't eat. You got to learn how to work hard. So it's not just the school you went to. It's your attitude. So that's really the parents' responsibility. So just make a decision together.
And I would suggest that you and your husband sit down and make a list of the pros and cons.
Benefits
and
the negatives.
If you decide
yes.
to go to private school, where you can cut some things financially yeah. so that sacrifice is worth it. But you definitely need to be in agreement on it.
Got to be in agreement on it. It's just how it is.
All right, so here's another question. I've been married for 2 years now, but I still enjoy doing stuff with friends. The problem is my wife hates most of my friends. So having them over to hang out isn't going to happen. Sometimes I feel like she's trying to isolate me from everyone. It's a very common problem.
Yes, you hear that a lot.
You do, and I think... Ooh, there's some give and take on that on
yes,
both
there
sides.
Is. There is.
I mean, I do think when you get married, typically there's a transition and you begin to start having couple friends,
yes.
friends that you develop as a couple.
Yes.
But, I mean, you know, you also have friends from your past.
Yes.
And I get it. How they're not always, you know, and then they walk in the room, your eyes roll, him again, you know. And it could have been something that he said when you were dating. Could have been just that he's obnoxious or whatever. But for some reason, they're special to your spouse. So, I mean, I think you, as a wife, need to make some, you know, you need to grin and bear it just a little bit. Joe has some friends that I've had to grin and bear it a little bit through because I thought that he was being taken advantage of. I know he was being taken advantage of. And so you know, and, you know, I do not like that. You know, I'm very protective
yes.
as a wife. And so,
she-bear. That's my personal she-bear right there.
Yes. So I don't like it. But, you know, I just try to focus on the good part and what they bring and that they've had a history and different things like that. So, but yeah, now you're married.
Yes, you are.
So that brings a new thing into
the mix. That's a whole new book that you have to open up. And we do this in our seminars. We used to teach, and I still do it. I don't do very many marriages anymore. But when I did it one time, I would do a pre-marriage test. You know, it's a book of, you know, what's your favorite color? You know, do you smoke? Do you drink? You know, do you have any bad habits? What did you do in school? What kind of grades did you make? What did you like most? What kind of jobs have you had? Have you ever been fired? Have you ever been laid off? Have you ever been arrested? It's just carnal questions. It's just pages of carnal questions. And I'll hand it to both the couple about to get married. And this is the end of several weeks of premarriage counseling. That's the last night. Here, guys said, I need you to fill this out. Mm-hmm. You're not going to give it to me. I'm not marrying you. You're going to marry each other. And said, it'd be good if you'd answer the questions. And what we're trying to do is avoid landmines down the road, because you're two ignorant people growing up together. You're not going to stay the same. I don't care what I love them. Well, I don't care what you love. They're going to change. At least you hope they're going to change. They're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. They're not going to stay the same. And so all of a sudden you realize, hey, you know, and I've had a couple sit in front of me, and they come back in. And I said, did you fill out the forms? Yes, because I have to separate them. I bring them back together. You got an hour to talk about it. And I've had mostly the women will say, well, he didn't answer that question. I said, well, he doesn't have to, because that's in his past. His past is under the blood. Leave it alone. Don't go digging up dead stuff. Well, who'd you date? What did you do? No, when you get married, you're going to build a future together, not dig up dead bones the rest of your life. Because if you do that, your marriage will not make it. Mm. You're picking somebody you'd like to spend the rest of your life with, building something, not digging up old past dead stuff. But there is a thing of asking about, you know, have you ever been drunk or, you know, fornicated or been caught and arrested? Like, I would like to know that. Anything major I need to do? Well, you know, I'd say you need to talk to one another. I can't make you answer. You know, if you heard from God, fine. But listen, we can spend the next 3 years just digging each other's past up, hire detectives and look at, and you won't get to the end of it. Mm-hmm. There is no end. And so your past is on the blood. Think about building something together. And so what you have to do when you get married, you leave your father and mother and you cleave to your spouse. You're now building a relationship with this person you just married. So there's some things you won't be able to hold on to. There are friends that didn't want to be my friend anymore. When I got married, they were still our friends, but then I got born again, spirit filled. I feel a call to the ministry. I'm going to quit my job as an engineer. And people ask us, have you gone stupid? No, I found Jesus. Have you become religious? Some people might call it that. Have you gone crazy? You one of those religious nuts? No, I just got born again. I think I'm supposed to do this. And so some friends will not keep walking with me. Now, I had a few that are still my friends to this day. Saw me before I was saved, after I was saved, you know, before ministry, after ministry. We still like to hang out. We might see each other once a year or email maybe twice a year. We still have a relationship. But we both grew. They're not in ministry, but they still love Jesus, and I do. And so we relate based on what we still know and what we believe. But some don't. Some dropped off. So it's going to change.
It is going to change, and I think typical of women, which I am one, like when I know Joe is going to be with one of his friends that I may have thought were, that I know are taking advantage of him.
You thought,
Like say it's going to be in 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, that'll eat at me, that yeah. I know it's coming. And then it has never everything I thought it was going to be. It's bigger in my mind, and I'm getting irritated by it, and I might say a couple things, but you know, you need to back off a little bit, give them a little space. But truthfully, what you say in your marriage seminars, you die yes. when you get married, and so you have to go on to a new chapter. I mean, you know, your book, You Don't Find a Great Marriage, You Build One, you know, talks about these kind of issues
yes.
Because they're very important, because you think, I mean, I don't know what you think. When I got married, when I was young particularly, I thought, well, it's going to be basically the same, except I'll just have somebody there with me. Mm. And it's not.
Nope.
You don't have that independent thinking. You don't have those independent choices. Now you have to consider your partner. And that's part of what the covenant is.
It is. And one of the things people, I think, get astonished by is that, listen, a covenant in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, you can't have a covenant unless somebody dies.
Mm.
So I tell people a marriage ceremony is really a funeral. I tell them Hallmark's got the cards all wrong. It should say, I'm so sorry, I heard you got married. Because if you don't die at that marriage ceremony, what you're doing when you get married, you're promising before God and witnesses, I'm going to spend the rest of my life loving this person right here.
Mm.
Well, is that if they're good? No. I'm going to love them whether they're good or bad. I'm laying my life down at this altar, this ceremony today, and I'm props before God and witness. I want to spend the rest of my life loving you. So when you're dating somebody, you're really trying to find, who would I like to die for?
Yeah.
Who would I like to die for? But most couples get married, well, I'll do this when you do this. Now I'm going to do this. Well, you got to choose the rest of last time. I get to choose this time. I said, you get married, you don't choose anything. You died. Mm-mm. And so if you live that way, they'll probably suck the lips off your face because you're so loving and forgiving and patient. Like, and they know they don't deserve it. Every couple of, I just don't deserve it. Probably don't. But yeah. God's just really good. He likes to show off.
And I will say, too, if your friend is putting these kind of thoughts in your mind, like, hey, dude, be a man.
Yeah, we're friends.
And they're putting some kind of a like trigger in there. Then, you know, on your own, you should pull back.
Yes, you should.
Because somebody that creates strife and division between you and your spouse, that is not a good thing. Nope. So in that sense, if that kind of stuff is going on, which typically in a situation like that, it possibly is, you know, it's your wife that's the priority. Way in a different league. I mean, they shouldn't even be in,
Not on the same level. Yeah, that's a different page.
So anyway, praying for you on that one. That's a challenge, and it is. It's a transition.
But for everybody, it's a challenge. I don't care who you know, that they have a perfect marriage. No one has a perfect marriage. You're two opposites growing up together. And so there's going to be a give and take all the way through your life. What you're trying to do is find somebody. I want to love this person the rest of my life.
Exactly.
It'll work. It will.
It will. So thank you so much for joining us today. We've enjoyed your questions. Please don't forget to write us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com. Send us your questions, your comments, and any concerns you may have. We love you guys.
Love you guys. Talk to you later. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.